This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. The play for colored girls who've considered suicide, When the Rainbow is Enough, was revolutionary when it was first staged in 1975. So revolutionary that playwright Ntozake Shange coined a special term for the theatrical piece. Shange dubbed it a choreo-poem, dramatic expression set to dance. Shange's combination of lyrical writing and creative movement was unique and considered one of the most powerful expressions of black female perspectives on the topics of love, sex, race, violence, freedom, and family. Karen Dakins Brock and Cynthia Penn both saw the choreo poem during its initial run on Broadway, and they're now the director and choreographer of the production for Colored Girls Who Have Considered Suicide When the Rainbow is Enough in Raleigh. Currently on stage at Burning Coal Theater through May 20th, Karen Dakins Brock and Cynthia Penn are my guests this hour. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Also with us are two of the actors, Kima Lassiter and Tara Whitney Rison, are here as well.
Yes, good to have you here.
Thank you.
So, Karen, tell us about this play. It is not a traditional narrative.
No, it's a choreo poem.
Yeah.
And it is a combination of poetry and dance. And not in any particular chronological order. There's no plot structure to it. There's no one character that follows all of the poems throughout. It's a series of poems on different events and different circumstances one finds oneself in life. And they're thematically connected.
How shocking, how different was this in 1975, this kind of production, when it was first staged?
I think a choreo poem was actually crafted. That term was crafted by the playwright at that time. So there hadn't been anything like that that existed previously. So it was very new, and it was also very bold and very powerful at the time, and remained so. The language in it is mature language, and it's about honest emotions, many of them very raw. Many of them, some people still may have some difficulty with the rawness of the language, but it's real and it's honest, and that's what makes it powerful.
Cynthia, talk about the role of the choreographer in this production. How do you work with the material itself? Was Shange herself a choreographer? How did she envision the movement and how it would be staged?
For me, when I approach working with an actor, I always think that I am in their country. There is a specific language that an actor has and is trained with. Coming from a dance background, I was very fortunate to work with directors, and especially Gerald Friedman. I teach at University of North Carolina School of the Arts, and to have his mentorship and to really understand the actor's world. So for me, it's about getting to the truth of the movements and the given circumstances. You know, what do we want to say, and how can we approach it in the most direct manner?
Do you see the show? The show doesn't, strictly speaking, have a narrative arc. Do you have to conceive it as a whole, or does each piece, when you choreograph, stand on its own?
I don't think that each piece stands on its own. I think that one has to look at it as an arc. And obviously, Karen had a vision of how she wanted this play to come across, because some of it is very shocking. And I think that she really thought about the balance that she wanted to create, the overall experience.
Well, talk about that, will you, Karen? Tell us about the vision you have for this show.
Well, I studied the play and had actually never considered directing the play, actually.
And we should say you saw it, right?
I've seen a number of productions of it. I saw it on Broadway.
Yeah.
And then, of course, a number of production companies, schools, community theater, everybody was doing it for a while. And it's still done, which speaks to the play. And so I remembered seeing it on Broadway, and my initial response was, wow. I felt like I had been in a pressure cooker for that amount of time. It was very intense, and I felt like I could breathe by the end of the play. By the time it was just very, very intense and moving. I knew that I also did not want just a series of poems, one after another, and especially there's so many people who are already familiar with the play and might even expect and might be waiting for things. So I had to immerse myself in it and allow it to work on me without thinking about the other productions. And what I found was that each poem had its own life, its own metaphor. And so I went with it, and with Cynthia's wonderful choreography.
Well, Tara, you play Lady in Purple. Tell us a little bit about your character, Tara.
Well, one of the things when we started the rehearsal process was that even starting with Cynthia coming in, she asked us, she went around the room and she asked us, what do we feel, what adjective or what word could we say describes our character? And one of the things I said, a couple of things I said was, she's rhythmic and she's moving. And I feel like she's a metaphor all on her own. And she has so much life and so much integrity about her. And we call her a storyteller because she's consistently telling stories from a perspective that's almost third person, mm-hmm. but she's referencing herself and mm-hmm. saying, I. So I got to experience being a storyteller and being in it, but also viewing it as if I was looking in on myself. So it was almost a reflection.
Can you give us a sample?
Sure. Yeah, I can. This is a piece called No More Love Poems, number 2. I am really colored and really sad sometimes. And you hurt me more than I ever danced out of. Into oblivion isn't far enough to get out of this. I am ready to die like a lily in the desert. And I couldn't let you in on it because I didn't know. Here is what I have. Poems, big thighs, little tits, and so much love. Will you take it from me this one time? Please, this is for you. Arsenio's tress has cleared the way and makes me pure again. Please. Please, this is for you. I want you to love me. Let me love you. I don't want to dance with ghosts. Snuggle lovers I made up in my drunkenness. Let me love you just like I am, a colored girl.
That's
Thank you.
Tara Whitney Ryson, who is performing part of her character, the Lady in Purple, from a production of For Colored Girls Who've Considered Suicide, When Rainbow Is Enough, at Burning Coal Theater in Raleigh. Tara, had you seen a stage production of this before?
You know, I actually did it in high school. I actually played Kima's character, Lady in Brown, and so even playing it then, it's from a totally different perspective now, you know, being a different color, being a different part of the rainbow as we consider it, and it's different. I mean, I never took it as the same thing, and I had been a little reluctant, you know, coming on to it first, because I was like, well, you know, I did the play, I know the play, it's so well known, so out there, but I mean, after a while, I mean, it really doesn't matter the messages and the stories and how it's so relatable and so relevant to any time period. It can be. And I just was so excited to just be a part of that again.
I want to talk more about that, the sense that this play has stayed alive and stayed relevant for so long. But Kima, I want to meet you and your character, Lady in Brown. Tell mm-hmm. us about your character story.
Lady in Brown, I feel, is, like Tara said, Cynthia asked us an adjective to describe our character. I would say she is struggling, but she's also on a search. And brown, to me, is all the colors really combined. And what I feel is, especially in the opening sequence, is she's saying the struggle and what the search is for everyone in this piece. And it's been a great journey for me to take on her, really.
Can you give us a sample as well?
Sure. Dark phrases of womanhood, of never having been a girl. Half notes scattered, without rhythm, no tune. Distraught laughter falling over a black girl's shoulder. It's funny. It's hysterical, the melody, lessness of her dance. Don't tell nobody. Don't tell a soul. She's dancing on beer cans and shingles. This must be the Spook House. Another song with no singers, lyrics, no voices and interrupted solos. Unseen performances. Are we ghouls? Children of horror? The joke? Don't tell nobody. Don't tell a soul. Thank you.
Kima Lassiter is the Lady in Brown at Burning Coal Theater production for colored girls who have considered suicide when the rainbow is enough. Karen, one of the conversations around this play from the time it was first staged is that it is in itself highly critical of black men. It was a conversation I think that we heard later around The Color Purple as well. How do you feel about that? And I say conversation because it's not wasn't always criticism. It was people who loved the play and said it was because we finally shined a light on this this corner. Oh,
yeah. I think the playwright wrote it from her own experiences and reading about her life. Well, not all about her life, some of her life. She actually did attempt suicide several times after her divorce from her first husband. So I think she wrote it not all about him, but about experiences of black women. But I think the more specific something is, the more universal it is. And I don't think this play is just about black women. I mean, people may take it that way. They happen to be colored women for colored girls. But I think it's a journey. It's a search of self. It's a search of self-validation that we look for in other people. And it's not to be found in other people. And I think that this play affirms that.
A self, but as you say, a particular self, a particular time and place about a black woman at the, you know, the second third of the second half of the 20th century in America. And I wonder about its relevance today. You talked about being able to breathe. And it's been said that this was the first literary look at black women, the first time their voice was able to find the stage and find a public.
Well, I think from the audiences who have attended thus far, we've gotten standing ovations. And I think that speaks to how it affected them in their lives. I think it's very current. The playwright did update it, actually, also. She added a piece about HIV/AIDS. She also added a piece about post-traumatic stress syndrome, and those did not exist when she wrote the play, or we didn't know about them. And so she made that part relevant. But the emotions are still very real. The journey is still very real. The search is still very real.
When you think about it, though, Cynthia, the particulars of her time when this play was written, the rise of feminism and where it was in 1975, and ideas about black nationalism, finding a voice on the stage, those were very particular moments, highlight moments. A play written in that period, the fact that it's still relevant today, what do you think accounts for that, that it didn't get lost in the welter of the more inflamed language of the time?
I think that young girls, young women, are being asked to assume responsibilities and to do things that are probably not easy for them, such as there's a lot of teen pregnancy. I don't know that our society really supports women that have chosen to have babies at a young age. I think that it's relevant because you see the youth that I work with are experiencing things that are violent, that are difficult. And I think that it just strikes a chord with families that come to see it, or that people are looking for answers. And I think you find answers and you see how one can relate this to every day. I mean, I have my son who is 21, he has three of his friends are going to be daddies now. You know, the young girls are leaving college because they're choosing to have children rather than abortions. It's something that we do need to reflect on now. How can we support?
Fair number of people, I don't have too much time left, but a fair number of people may know about this at all from the film that, in fact, Tyler Perry did a couple of years ago. How is this production different from the film, Karen?
Our production is the original as it first appeared on Broadway. And you're right, some people have seen the film and they're not aware of the book and they're not aware that of the play. And so this is the play as it was originally done to critical acclaim.
Won an Obie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And was nominated for
other awards.
Yes.
And you can see it on stage at Burning Coal. Thank you so much for being in the program
Thank
today.
You.
All of you.
Thank
Karen
you.
Dakins Brock directs Kima Lassiter and Tara Whitney Rison and others in For Colored Girls Who've Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Is Enough. Cynthia Penn is the production's choreographer. The play runs at the Murphy School Auditorium in Raleigh through May 20th. For tickets and more information, visit burningcoal.org. That's our program for today. I want to invite you to join us tomorrow in Greensboro for a live production there. We're coming out of the Triad stage in Greensboro. You can be in the audience. Just send us an email, rsvp@wunc.org, and you can be in the audience in Greensboro for tomorrow's show. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.